Welcome back to This Modern Brand, the podcast where we dive into the strategies behind some of the most influential brands shaping culture today. I'm your host, Jason Parks, joined by my co-host, Andy Woolard, EVP of Strategy at Barclay OKRP. Andy, before we introduce our guest, I want to give our listeners a quick overview of your role at Barclay OKRP. As EVP of Strategy, you've been pivotal in helping brands like Pernod Ricard identify insights and pursue successful innovation. Can you share a little bit about how innovation fits into your larger brand strategy role here? And what excites you most about the work that you're doing with Pernod Ricard?
Yeah, thank you, Jason. So I'm part of a larger strategy group at Barclay OKRP, and in our strategy group features expertise in brand and creative strategy, in consumer and business intelligence, communication planning, and where I often focus in the topic of today is going to be on innovation. So our group's pretty different than the average agency in that we really span the spectrum of both AOR, creative strategy work, as well as specific project-based and consulting-based work. So I've spent the majority of my career lucky enough to be in these types of transformation and innovation environments. And that's where I met Emily and started working with Pernod Ricard. And to your question, I think the thing that is unique about Pernod Ricard is that it's got a portfolio of iconic brands, globally known brands. But within that, the brands are really at the center of culture. So if you think about drinks brands in general, you're talking about fashion, you're talking about music, you're talking about human relationships. And that's what's really fun about this is you're not just innovating a product, but you're having an impact on the bigger culture. And I think that's what's unique about working within this brand specifically.
That's amazing. And you mentioned Emily. So let's introduce her. We're excited to have Emily Cohen with us today. She's the Senior Director of Innovation at Pernod Ricard. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Good to be here with you guys.
So before we get into the exciting work that you're doing with brands like Absolut and Jameson, can you tell us a little bit about your journey prior to and now at Pernod Ricard? What shaped your approach to innovation and brand building within such a diverse portfolio of brands? Would love to hear that background.
One of the things I loved about coming to Pernod was that portfolio of brands and the ability to work across them and really tackle different consumer challenges. And that's been the theme of my career, is working across a number of different kinds of companies in marketing and brand strategy. And whether those were large international, really well-known brands like Revlon or Absolut, where I, one of my brands now, or small startups that you have yet to hear of, they're on their way. It really was about bringing all sorts of different perspectives and a variety of thoughts, observations, and people into the mix to drive the business forward in new and exciting ways.
That's interesting. And to that point, collaboration's clearly been a key element in the success of your work, especially with our team at Barclay OKRP. So I would love if you could share how your teams work together across such varied brands, again, the larger brands, the ones we haven't heard of yet, and what a successful collaboration look like in your role.
Well, it's interesting. The collaboration will change from project to project and from company to company with the different cultures. And as we bring in agency partners like Barclay OKRP, so working with Andy and building out a really flexible way of working and flexible way of approaching the kinds of challenges that we have. In the past, it's involved everything from working from a clear formula forward and bringing in different cross-functional mindsets to brainstorm on a problem to help push things forward. And in the present, it's very much working across some dedicated folks, bringing in new ways of thinking and being very flexible about and very focused to go after the challenges and the objectives that we're trying to hit and less focused on that template. What we've discovered is we really hit a lot of challenges trying to do the same things in the same way over and over again. So trying to break out of that routine has really driven us to new great heights.
I'll jump in real quick. Emily, I love that. You and your team are continually leading innovation work streams across the portfolio of different brands, but also amongst your colleagues. It's part of your role is how do you bring those folks together and how do you move them towards some of the bigger end goals? Give me a sense from your vantage point, what are some of the barriers to successful innovation that you face, but also that you think are probably part of really any organization?
Yeah, I think as we just spoke about, one of those is a little bit of the same thing every day, same people, new challenge does get us into some challenges in terms of the way we are approaching new ventures and new product ideas. Another one is really the silos that we need to break down and the kinds of thinking that just gets ingrained and perspectives that just stay the same, even as you're trying to change them. So trying to break out of some of these formulaic kinds of ways forward in new and exciting ways in an ideation really helps us to shake things up a bit, to get some new thinking. And you know, one of the more interesting things that people are usually shocked by is even when working on the most known brands, some of the biggest brands in the world, your core teams can be quite small, quite tight, quite lean. And you really lean upon agency partners. But at the same time, at the heart of it is the same few people. You're trying to bring in some trusted cross-functional partners, but again, tackling these challenges day after day, especially with a diversity of brands like we have at Pernod Ricard, we're bringing in new faces, but there's only so far we can dive. So bringing in new partners is really helpful. And shaking the process up to get new things out of the same partners is vital.
I remember one of the last times we were at your office doing an innovation workshop, we were standing with a number of your colleagues. I think it was just more of a lunch break or something like that. And I kind of casually asked somebody, oh, you know, how's your week been? How's it going? And he said, oh, I don't know, this is like my third innovation workshop this week. And it was a Thursday. And that hit me as an agency, perspective, thinking, this isn't the only workshop they've had all week. This isn't the thing they've been waiting as the most novel, unique, original part of their week. And it really struck me as a reminder that part of our job is to bring that novelty, is to bring some of that new perspective. And, you know, it's just as important in the way that we engage and inspire and push as it is that we have, you know, some of those tried and true ways of approaching innovation, some of those, you know, innovation tenets that we do have to follow. So it was a big reminder for me just to keep bringing some of that new inspiration. And your team has been wonderful at pushing our team around, hey, let's come up with something completely new. What if we did this in a way that was a little uncomfortable? What if we did this in a way that no one's done before? And I think that's just inherently part of getting to that good innovation outcome.
And that's one of the reasons I think that we are starting to come out with some new and exciting things, you know, working with your team and having that flexibility to say, we can't just go in the same way, giving you a heads up to the fact that you might be the third ideation of the week so that we can prepare for it and say, what can we do differently? I've got 5 of the 10 people who were in ideation yesterday. How can I make today different so I don't get the same idea in a new package? And going outside of the norm and breaking out of the templates that one might normally come to these with has given us some really interesting fodder to work with, I think, both breaking out of the room and bringing new things into the room.
This is really at the crux of our Fast Company presentation, understanding that dynamic and understanding that relationship and understanding really how kind of set the tone early on. And one thing that you brought up early on as you and I were kind of thinking through our premise for this presentation and our premise for the talk that we gave was, you know, the importance of creating a partner versus a vendor dynamic. And you said those words, partner versus vendor, to the outside agencies that you work with. Tell us a little bit more about the difference there and how you frame those two different relationships.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you need a vendor, right? Sometimes you need someone to come in and just be arms and legs and do things that you don't have the skill to do and can do. But if you are starting further upstream for the process and looking at your objective, and saying, you know what, maybe I don't know everything and I'm hiring someone to come in and help me coach me through a different way of thinking, why not take advantage of the creativity that I'm hiring? Why not take advantage of the experience, the ability to be in a number of different kinds of scenarios and clients in the course of a year and bring those best practices into my organization? So when I look at that agency partner and I said, and this will get us to discussing the brief, I'm sure, because when I say, hey, here's what I'm looking for, if I could do it myself and write the recipe, I wouldn't need the kind of partner that I've looked for in Barclay OKRP. I would need just someone who could execute for me. But I'm looking for something different because we're always looking for a new way of looking at it, a new way of thinking. And if someone isn't up to the challenge of not only helping us through doing things differently, but challenging us on the way we've been thinking, then we're not going to get there.
Yeah, it's I love that because it also sets a really specific tone for our team too, that we're being given the opportunity to add value, the expectation that we're adding value, not just facilitating or not just executing. And I think that frankly just creates a higher level of investment, a higher level of proximity, I think, to the real business needs behind the ask, behind the brief, as you mentioned, that we're given. So I think it works both ways. It sets the tone for the agency as well, that kind of levels up what they need to bring to the table.
Yeah, I would love to dig into a little bit of the practical and the how, because I mean, you're obviously in a very competitive category, in the spirits category, and we all know the importance of data and trends and all of those things that, you know, you have access to and oftentimes your competitors do as well. So I'm wondering, how do you go beyond that? I mean, those are important. Data is important. Trends are important. But you've talked about this spark and innovation and stuff. So I'd love if you could share with our listeners a little bit more specifically how you create more unique sparks for innovation.
Yeah, I think it's about being creative. And I think about it's brainstorming for the brainstorm. Andy and I came up with a little bit of a catchphrase that we quite liked because it really was the truth in a nutshell, which is our brief is complete, but not concrete. And so it's the ability to evolve. It's that ability to focus on the objective and change things around without being fearful of it, to know that we can go forward. Now, we absolutely need to be informed by the data. We need to know what's going on out there. We need to be able to understand trends and white space and opportunity and market dynamics. But the unique way we can mix that into a business opportunity and a new product opportunity and a new way of thinking about an observation of a consumer behavior is what's going to make my innovation different from my competitors, because they all have access to the same data, the same tools, and more, the same insights. So unless we can bring a unique spin to it and mix it all up in a different way, we don't want to come out with the same exact product.
Do you have any like stories you can share, like in the innovation process where something just came out of the blue, didn't expect it, or some interesting tactic or technique that you use to get to an innovation? Are there just any interesting stories that led to a breakthrough brand that you could share with our listeners?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that there's one that's standing out to me right now. There's so many that end up blurring together. I think one of the interesting parts is when you wake up and recognize that you've been looking at an answer, but in the wrong way. So I had in a previous life at another company, working in electronics, we were looking at a system that would help to combine a number of different home entertainment tools into one. And it was combining many, many, many boxes into just one for your living room. We thought this was fabulous. Oh my God, everyone would love this. And we had the data to say that consumers wanted it to be simpler. They wanted to have all the best tools at their fingertips. They wanted all of these things of the best experience. And yet we were looking at it in the wrong way because we weren't considering it from the consumer perspective. They did want all of these things, but they already had their setup and they were fearful of changing that. When we looked at it, it was really more about the control of the setup or the ease of implementing change. And when we looked at that, we were able to design in features and services around the product that not only added value, had the potential of adding revenue and new business streams, but also changed the game. But we had to flip our perspective. And so often in companies, we think we're being consumer centric, but we're really reading the consumer from our point of view that we want to be true.
We had an interesting example of that, I think, in one of our projects too, Emily, where the premise that we were trying to get to was to really help the folks in the room embody not just a segment, right, or a target consumer, but to really embody some of the tensions that they felt when they're in certain scenarios. And so we literally put the folks in those scenarios. And I think everyone's familiar with personas or, you know, segments or thinking about how to, you know, get a little bit closer to the consumer. But you really have to, and I think it's part of our job, to activate that empathy, to kind of turn that corner for folks and have them truly embody the experience of the people that they are designing for and truly feel the feelings there. And I think that's when some of that breakthrough can happen, when you have a chance to not just understand the definition of someone and, you know, the need that they might have for your product or for your category, but you have that moment where you say, I'm that person. I feel that. I get it. I'm going to make this decision. And a lot of our job is to set the right environment that folks can embody that and can feel it authentically.
And I think that's so interesting because it exists on such a dual nature as well, right? We have to get our folks out to be and embody our consumers, to really be able to take on those thoughts, those ideas, those personas, to give us the reactions and the behaviors. At the same time, we have to remember that the people in the room are consumers of everything that's going on in entertainment and culture and marketing. They're being marketed to every day. They're consuming products every day. And recognizing that helps us not only tailor the process better, but also break out of those patterns that we're talking about. So not just saying, hey, here's a persona, put it on, but as Andy started to allude to, getting them out of the office in that persona. And by the way, not even necessarily putting it together as, hey, we're going to go out and you're going to play this persona, but let's play this game. It's a murder mystery dinner party. It's a whatever that you're taking on. It wasn't murder mystery for us, of course, but when you're taking on, let's all go out to dinner and you each have a role to play, but you gamify it a bit. You make it more entertaining. Then it's outside the norm of our day-to-day regular focus on the business process of ideation. So, and observation and consumer research. So getting out of those ruts really helps us to shake things up a bit. And when we did it, we had a great time. We had folks in these restaurants and cocktail bars and other kinds of venues really taking on the personas with a vengeance, really enthusiastically playing their role, saying, well, I would order this, but I'm not me today. I'm so-and-so, and so I'm going to order this. And by the way, my character noticed that going on, and just starting conversations that way. And it was really, really interesting and just brought a new tone and a new color to the conversation, both that night and the next day when we entered into more of the normal ideation in the conference room.
It kind of goes back to a question around all the competition is reading the same trends. All the competition is seeing the same category data. We think humans are really the advantage here. It's the ideas that come out of a curated group of people. And how do you inspire them? How do you engage them? How do you entertain them? How do you get them to the point that they will be the tiebreaker versus the competitors who are also in innovation workshops, right? So how do you make sure that those humans that you're bringing along this journey get to those bigger ideas? And that's something that's just so fascinating about innovation overall.
The more tools and tech and data that we have access to, the more and more it becomes obvious that there's a huge human element to the mix and the ability to combine it in new ways and elicit the right kind of information and draw it out of your participants and put it together in new ways. Otherwise, we'll all launch the same product.
Building on that a bit, Emily, one last question before we wrap up. We've talked a lot about the partnership between client and agency, but another key component of successful innovation is really how to bring stakeholders along in the process. We just talked about the power of that human factor and how do you engage them and bring them to the point of creating even bigger and better solutions and ideas. So as you think about peers in other categories entirely, what advice do you have for folks that sit in your similar role, innovation leaders, brand leaders that are trying to build that level of kind of human engagement and excitement and advocacy for the work that they're doing?
Again, it's hard. I keep coming back to the human element, but it's about communication and it's about preparation and really knowing the audiences and making sure that they're as prepared as you are to go into things. So there's a dynamic and a culture in every organization that you're up against. Even if you think it's the most positive culture, if you think it's the most negative culture, if it's risk averse or very risk accepting, there's a culture that you have to work with. And the folks within that organization are motivated to succeed within that organization. So knowing this and going in with eyes wide open and being able to empathize, being able to communicate, being able to present them as winners, build them up and make them feel like they're really adding value and a part of the process, but also preparing them for what comes out the other side and how, what their role is in it and how they communicate it is just so vital. And that goes to our agency partners as well. If I don't set them up for success when they come into these meetings, I don't look successful. So it's as selfish as it is self-serving, as it is selfless. Let me say that one again. And it goes to our agency partners as well. Because if I don't prepare them to succeed in the room, then I don't look good. So it's as selfless as it is selfish, because we both want to come out on the other side looking good. And that's a motivation for most human encounter in the business world. So if we can really communicate well, build up, support people's creativity, the ground rule of brainstorming where no idea is a bad idea, you still get judgments in the room, let's be honest. You still get people who giggle or riff and things like that. But the more you can really make a welcoming environment, accept all these ideas and drive forward and call upon them and make everyone feel valued, the more successful we are in the end.
That's great. That's great advice, Emily, for all the innovators there that are listening. So thanks so much for the conversation. So that wraps up this episode of This Modern Brand. Emily, thanks again for joining us and for sharing your insight. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. For more insights on building brands people love, head over to BarkleyOKRP.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.